The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne, send her an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us this evening. As every week we talk about, hence the name Down to Earth, I'm all about down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And of course, my focus, as much as I can, is, and everything that can relate to it, I like to go back to landscape design. Because I really believe that great landscapes start with a great plan. And that's always the plan. Right, Gary?
That it is.
But it is.
I always feel bad when you come to my home.
Yeah, no.
Because I don't know if I have a plan.
So it has been, the weather has been great. And I have to say, my summer and my August and September have been quite busy with landscape design. So I think it's catching on. My message is catching on that it's really good to have a plan. And the more and more different types of jobs that I work on with contractors and with homeowners, I am finding that customers really need help, not only with their plants, which is my passion, but when seeing the whole landscape come together, if they're putting in a patio or a walkway or something surrounding the pool, they really need help from me as their designer tying it all together. And a lot of that comes with picking the brick and picking the hardscaping and the different pavers. And that isn't my area of expertise at all. But I know I spent quite a bit of time in the off season going to a few seminars. And I continue whenever I have opportunities to learn more about the different the bricks out there and the different hardscaping issues and trends and all of that. So I was lucky enough just recently to meet with Jason Vatisse at Best Way Stone, and he gave me a tour of one of our dealers here in Durham region, and you know, really went through all the different products with me. And so I'm really looking forward to him joining me on the show today so that he can share some more information with my listeners about Best Way as well as about the products that they offer. So welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey, Joanne. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So as I mentioned when we met, you know, this isn't my area of expertise, but I am starting to see more and more that the customers, everybody's different and they want something unique. And they really want some help in picking bricks. So I'm looking forward to learning more all about it. So welcome to the show. So why don't we start off with you telling me a little bit. I know you're the marketing manager for Best Way Stone.
Yep,
do you want to give me a little bit of a background?
Sure. Yeah, I've been in the position of marketing manager with Best Way Stone now for 6 years. I worked here previous to that as well. So I've been with the company in this position for 6 years now. And a little bit of a history about Best Way Stone. We actually are one of the earliest precast manufacturers in Ontario and Canada, but specifically in the Ontario market. We started back in 1965 manufacturing precast patio slabs, really kind of penetrated the builder market in the early days with some of the major builders around the Ontario market.
Okay.
So we started off making patio slabs just because, the company started with, an immigrant family from Italy moving here for work and naturally just supplying their friends and family and neighborhoods with a skilled trade that they brought over from Italy, and then it grew from there. Then, the demand grew, and, teaming up and partnering up with builders as well, the company started to flourish. And in the late 70s, with the paving stone industry moving from Europe to Canada as well, Bestway Stone began in the 1980s as well, manufacturing paving stones for the Ontario market. Which then led to retaining walls. And as the market grew and demand for different products grew, Bestway Stone over the years expanded its production and expanded its different products as well.
Right.
So our main, we started in Richmond Hill, Ontario, but our main manufacturing location right now and head office is in Woodbridge, Ontario.
Okay.
And we've got a secondary location, which we opened up 4 years ago in the Durham region as well, which is on the border of Stouffville and Uxbridge.
All right.
So we're right in the Durham community as well, pretty immersed in the community there and want to get in touch with the neighborhood there as well, we've grown quite a bit in the Vaughan area already as well.
Yeah, and the location-wise, that's great because you can go east, west, north, south,
Yes, yeah, that's been a big driver of our success in business over the years as well, just being situated in a great area that's really been growing. It seems that even though, economies might not be great in certain other areas or in other countries, we're in a bit of an anomaly here in the GTA that it just seems that everyone wants to live here. So, even in tough times, we've seen at least growth or steady revenue as well. So it's kind of been a good market to be a part of and grow with.
Okay, that's great. And so you've been there 7 years, you said, or no longer?
Longer than that, 6 years in this role. Grew up in the industry a little bit. So,
yes.
But 6 years in this position.
Excellent. And what do you like best about marketing and promoting?
Well, like anything, whether it's a paving stone or something else, it's really trying to get in touch with what the customers want. And,
right.
And that's, speaking to what you said before about, learning a little bit more about the products and what's out there. The products have grown so much and what's offered out there is growing immensely that it's becoming really fun to market them because you're not just marketing a paving stone anymore. You're marketing an extension of someone's house. So whether it's a certain style like modern or rustic, or you're trying to get in touch with what the customers want in terms of style more than so just it's something that's going to last them 25 years. It's more than that. It's about what their personal style is as well. So marketing in this industry has become more than just the product itself. It's really getting in touch with creating outdoor living for a family or for a homeowner.
Yeah, it really has. And I think the amount of products on the market is what, because it used to be, they had a choice of A or they had a choice of B. Maybe there was a C, but really.
Yeah, to be honest, most manufacturers probably admit to just wanting to make one paving stone all the time would just make things easier.
Yes.
But that's not the way things are going to grow, right? It's great that the customers are demanding more and asking more, and landscape designers and contractors are kind of a driving force to really pushing certain products. So we listen to what the market's asking for. We try to be as predictive as we can and come up with something new and unique. And then also there is demands for certain looks and styles out there, and you got to kind of go with the ebb and flows of styles as well.
Yeah, and you and I have something in common in that you're trying to please the homeowners, but you're also trying to keep the contractors happy.
I
find myself in that position as a designer, right? I want to make everything in life easy, and the design, I always say I don't want to design something that can't be built. I want to be able to work with the contractor and make sure it's good, but I want to keep the homeowner, give them what they want as well.
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes the market, like currently, a lot of the trends are going towards these really large paving stones and large, beautiful environments, which is great with the finished product, but unfortunately, it's not so great for a contractor's back when they're installing it. So, when we try to design products, we try to have the contractor in mind as well, not just the homeowner, see how user-friendly we can make it as well.
Yeah, that's really important. Did you want to talk a little bit about, because I know this is always something I would like to learn more about, and I'm sure our listeners would too, just about the whole, basics of the manufacturing process, because you were talking about dry cast. Did you mention that?
Sure, yeah. There's really two different kinds of ways to make a paving stone.
Okay.
The original way, I guess the original way was wet cast back in the Roman days when they were just pouring liquid cement, basically, into little molds that they made themselves. But in modern days, the dry cast technology has really taken off because it's been able to create like some of the strongest concrete available. So in Canada, we have very high standards compared to other places in the world in terms of compressive strength for paving stones, freeze thaw because of our environment here. So every manufacturer, you really can't say anything bad about anyone because we're meeting such a high standard
right.
compared to the rest of the world. So whether you buy one from Best Way Stone or another company, you have peace of mind knowing that if it's made to a standard, which you know every company holds themselves to,
right.
and a lifetime warranty, usually in most cases, that you're getting a good product in the end. So dry cast, you know, has been able to create a product that you know can get you 8,000 PSI compared to like typical you know manufacturing and which is like 2,000 PSI. So like the strength of a machine pressing out all the liquid and you know getting it down to like 97% or 98% of a dry product before it hardens and over a couple of days that you know that gives you a very strong product in
wow.
the end. So dry cast technology as well has been able to speed things up because you're having molds come into a machine that has a certain design pattern on it, and you know you're filling a mold, pressing it, and then out moves that board, and then
mm-hmm.
filling that same mold again comes back, and out it comes. So that's been able to speed up production and be able to meet you know the product demand that's out there on the market. So,
right.
And you know, and Best Way Stone itself is you know we used to do a lot more wet cast in the 1980s, and unfortunately that comes you know I'll discuss that soon comes with a little bit of headache, especially on the packaging side, just because of the nature of the product. So dry cast has been kind of the wave of things, and
okay.
now you're starting to see that wet cast come in a little bit more because you can, with wet cast, you can achieve a little bit more texture on and detail on the face of the stone to make it look a little bit more like a natural stone.
All right.
But wet cast is, you know, more of a soupy mix that goes into a mold that, you know, that dries over a little bit more time. So and you can't use a different mold. You have to have a separate, or the same mold, you have to use a separate mold. So it can be a little bit more time-consuming and a little more daunting to make. That's why usually wet cast products come with a higher price tag
oh, okay.
than others as well.
Okay, that's good for people to know, right? Because sometimes
yeah.
I think they don't understand the difference, why this, to them, you know, as
yeah.
to me, they one brick looks the same as the next, right?
Yeah.
Or one paver. So I think it's good for people to know that something takes longer.
Yeah, and that's why, too, you can have inventory delays on certain products as well that are made in certain ways. But, you know, the thing is, too, like there's usually, if companies have a wet cast product, they have a separate warranty for that because it is a different product in the end. It doesn't have the same compressive abilities that the, you know, that a dry cast paving stone would have because it's being pressed by a machine, right?
Okay.
So there is differences in that way, but, you know, a lot of companies offer similar warranties on the wet cast as well. So,
right.
So you're really just, at that point, you're looking at a different aesthetic and maybe a different budget in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say high standards, so who sets those standards?
Yeah, well, we're members of a third-party organization called the Interlocking Concrete Pavement Institute, the ICPI.
Okay.
And the reason why we're, you know, and a bunch of the manufacturers are part of that as well, because rather than having your manufacturer tell you what's right and what's wrong, because, you know, not that they would do this, but you know, some people can try to sway things in their, you know, in their own favor.
Right.
Using a third-party source that's based around education, and they have engineers on staff that test these different products as well and test the different strengths. It gives you peace of mind as a manufacturer and as a homeowner. The companies that belong to these third-party organizations and meet their standards are putting a product out there that's been tried and tested by engineers that don't belong to that company, so they
okay.
have no interest
yeah.
besides their own as a education body.
Okay.
So the ICPI kind of sets that. We're members of that as well, and then we do promote their installation methodology. We do you know meet the standards that are put out there by the different, you know, in Canada they have a CSA spec, which is, you know, separate from ICPI, but ICPI kind of, you know, pushes that methodology. And in the States they have the ASTM specification, you know, guidelines as well.
Okay. And are they different?
In some cases they are. In some cases they're similar. And us in the United States are very similar,
right.
similar economy, similar weather, similar, you know, especially
yeah.
in the northern states. So in that way, but you know, in other places of the world, some places don't have standards, so they're really just you kind of go
yeah.
go with the flow.
Yeah, you get what you get,
yeah.
kind of thing. Okay, so that's a lot of information. And I think that's great to know that there is a third body. I mean, I think a lot of industries have that, right? They have a, you know, an independent body kind of making sure that you're doing it right.
Yeah, and the thing to take away from here, too, like, this can get very technical.
Right.
Way beyond some of my, my realm of knowledge when you're bringing in some, you know, engineers that have been doing this for many years. The peace of mind comes that, you know, if you're buying a product from somebody who's a member of the ICPI, promotes their methodology, meets the certain standards here in Canada, that you're getting a good quality product, especially if they offer a lifetime warranty. What more can you ask of a manufacturer than a lifetime warranty?
Yeah, for sure. Now, it's not always all about, like, it's great to know that the stone is, you know, like you said, warrantied and manufactured with really high standards. But I was wanting to relate it to the song. It's not all about the brick, but a lot of the time it's what's underneath, right? The base.
Yes, base construction can make or break anything. Like, we're really selling a surface solution.
Right.
We do promote, like I said, we do promote the ICPI methodology for installation because it's been tested. It's been, has an education body behind it that has come up with what they feel is the best way to install paving stones.
Yes.
So we do promote that, and we try to promote that to our contractors as well that either buy from Best Way Stone or, in most cases, buy through dealers. So we try to educate through the dealer as well. But base construction can make or break. You can have the most beautiful paving stone in the world on a driveway, but if you're only putting a couple inches of limestone screening underneath, most likely it's going to fail, especially in a cold climate. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we've had, in the winter, I had Mike Pennington on, and he did talk a little bit about ICPI and the importance of the standards there and installation, how important it was to hire a qualified contractor. And that's something to ask, because I think as a designer, when I'm working with contractors or with homeowners and we're getting quotes on jobs and quotes, and, you know, they're looking at the book and they look good and you know, but they want to know why, you know, the price is so high. And sometimes there's a variance with prices between contractors. And I'm always, you know, and it's funny because they always come to me, right? They never ask the contractor why he's so high, but they come to me. And I really have to say, you know, look at what his contract says. How much, you know, how much is he digging out? How much is the other guy digging out? You know, if he didn't say what he was digging out, you know, or putting in, you know, then you need to ask that. You know, I kind of feel like I'm the safe person for them to ask, but yet my knowledge still is limited on that as well. So I think that's really important for our listeners to know, is that and I say that about a design, when you have one design and you're happy with that design and that layout, and you take that to two different contractors, they're both quoting the same thing. So you can compare apples to apples. So if the prices vary substantially, then you know, for I know anyway, that it's probably underneath the stone, right?
Yeah, so like I always tell, especially, you know, if someone's going to go and invest, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $80,000, $100,000 in their backyard, you know, for an extra, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 to get a design, I think is an amazing investment. I would never even start without one, because you wouldn't think of certain things that a designer who does this for a living would think of.
Thank you.
And B, like you mentioned before, when you bring this to a contractor, they are all working off the same plan, so there can't be really any variation, unless, like you said, you either change the paving stone or you change what's underneath.
Yeah.
Hiring a contractor is definitely a hard thing to do, whether it's landscaping or any business.
Right.
I try to put myself, when I talk to a homeowner, I try to put myself in their position. You know, if this is my home, I always recommend getting a few quotes to have something to compare to. If you have, you know, a couple quotes that are in one area and someone else is, you know, 25-30% lower, there's got to be a reason. So, like you said, it's either in the base, maybe it's their quality of work. It's best to go off some references as well.
Yes.
A lot of contractors are hired, which, you know, isn't a bad thing, because if someone's willing to put their name on someone else that did their job for them, then, you know, there's probably some validity there, and you can see that their work done as well.
Yeah.
So there's different ways to qualify. Some manufacturers offer a program that has qualified contractors, but you gotta, some people can go to a classroom and get a certificate that they took a class, but it doesn't mean that they're actually doing that on the job.
Right.
So it's, you know, and that's one discussion I actually had with Mike Pennington as well, is that, you know, that goes only so far, and the way he's built his company is, you know, through an experience with their company and creating a good word of mouth and a good reputation for themselves in the industry, which goes a long way as well. You know, looking at a contractor. You know, some contractors don't have websites and stuff like that as well, which, you know, I don't fault some people for. They may not be as, you know, they may be an older contractor, not as in tune with you know, modern technology as well. And there's some great guys that do things a different way.
And it's a big, it is a big investment and time. But yeah, I feel strongly that, you know, you still should have that.
Yeah. Like, I know a couple of contractors, you know, that, that don't do things exactly the ICPI way, but their stuff is, you know, amazing and has lasted the test of time in any capacity I've seen it, but we know it doesn't. The reason we promote the ICPI is because it, you know, it's something that's been tested. It's the same thing every time, right? Rather than people doing it so many different ways. So, the best thing I can always say when you're looking at trying to hire a qualified contractor is get a few leads. Also, make sure you have. Get a few contractors. Make sure you also have a realistic budget in mind. You know, don't ask for the world for, you know, half the price of what it actually costs. Like, make sure you know your budget. And work off a plan. I think it's a great idea having a plan, because then every contractor's quoting on the same work.
Well, on that great note for plugging my designs, thank you, Jason. Let's pause for a commercial break, and we will continue with Jason Vatese from Best Way Stone when we get back. Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Welcome to One Love Caribbean Groceries and African Foods, located at 595 King Street East, Wilson and King Street in Oshawa. They carry a wide variety of delicious tropical fruits, vegetables, spices, halal meats, fresh fish, fresh roti, patties, cosmetics, and much, much more. Their friendly staff will be happy to serve you with all your West Indian grocery needs. One Love Caribbean Groceries, located at 595 King Street East, just a few steps east of Wilson on King Street in Oshawa. Their telephone number is 905-440-4632. That's 905-440-4632.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised.
Don't look now. Things just got worse. I'm drunk.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, email her, realityradio101 at yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path with my guest, Jason Vatese with Best Way Stone. Thank you again, Jason.
No problem.
So we were talking before the commercial about a little bit about the lifetime warranty and the paver manufacturing process and the install. So is there any, I just think from a homeowner's point of view, is there anything that in the install that could impact that lifetime warranty?
With the lifetime warranty, yeah. Like with us, we try to, with Best Way Stone and a few of the other manufacturers that belong to the ICPI, in our warranty we do mention the ICPI because, you know, a lot of contractors still use limestone screening under the base, and, you know, there's a lot of people who use that and have no problem with it.
Right.
But you could be inviting issues because with limestone, especially, if water's collecting under there for many years, you're creating basically a soupy bath of limestone, which can corrode the bottom of a paving stone.
Okay.
Some cases that won't happen, the water flushes out, but in some cases it does. So that's why we try to, use a gravel or a high performance bedding as kind of a marketing term for
HPD.
That's out there just because it helps get water away from the surface, which can help prevent some frost heaving if water's sitting there, you know, when climates change.
Okay.
And also avoid, you know, the corrosion underneath the bricks as well.
Yeah. So when did because limestone screening was a standard for quite a while.
Yeah, and I still think like probably 70% or 80% of the market still uses it. And you know what? Like, we've seen cases where there's absolutely no issue whatsoever, but you know, there's a potential for issues. So that's why we try our best to try to promote not using it wherever possible. And now with a lot of markets even using permeable paving stones, which absolutely you can't use limestone screening because it's not permeable. That kind of is taking a little bit of a turn as well in a lot of areas where they're pushing permeable pavers to try to prevent, you know, stormwater runoff,
prevent
the sewers as well, and pollution. So with that, you know, coming into, especially into cities like Toronto, we're seeing even more movement away from the limestone screening where possible, just for better end use.
Yeah, definitely. And are you finding, how are homeowners doing? Are there a lot of DIYers, I like to call them?
There probably are, like a lot, because as a manufacturer, a lot of our business is mostly to distributors, the dealers and garden centers. So they would be probably interacting with the do-it-yourselfer a little bit more than we are.
Yes.
But they really rely a lot on the dealers. Knowledge in the landscape garden center for, you know, advice on what to do. A lot of people go to YouTube as well, and there's a lot of videos out there on how to do it. I always say, you know, the ICPI has a website, icpi.org. They're a great resource for the do-it-yourselfer or anyone who's hiring someone. They have a great FAQ section on hiring contractors and what to look for. Some of their stuff, you know, might apply more to warmer climates and colder climates.
Yes.
And, like I said, a lot of contractors still don't do it exactly like they have it, but, you know, still have success in the end. It's not a fine line, but it's something to start from.
Yeah, for sure. And as much as I do recommend you Googling and the YouTube videos, that's great that they have that website. I'll repeat it there, icpi.org. But even with customers I have that are Googling plants, for instance, you know, it's unfortunately the internet is for everybody for all over the world. So just because, you know, the certain person says you can do it doesn't mean that it works in your climate, in your temperature, in your environment. So that's something for homeowners to really take into consideration. I always say, you know, take that whatever you read with a grain of salt and talk to somebody or get some expertise locally about it.
Yeah, and speaking either to the manufacturer that you've decided to go with, which paving stone, and also relying on your contractor. Hopefully once you've gone through the process and have chosen someone you're comfortable with and seen their work, you can rely on them for some information. They may tell you this is achievable, this isn't achievable, what to use, what not to use as well. If they've had success over the years and they offer themselves a limited warranty to their work as well, because, you know, it is Canada, so things will move no matter what you put on it. But hopefully they last as long as possible, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a freeze and thaw and a shift no matter what. But I know a lot of the contractors, I think you want to look, that goes with hiring a qualified one. You know, I think a 1 year is a minimum. I think you really should be looking, you know, more to the 3 to 5 year warranties from the contractor. I don't know if they go beyond five. Do you know anybody that goes beyond five?
I don't personally know anyone who goes beyond five. Especially here in Canada, that's a tough thing to do. But you'd have to just research. I think, you know, there's probably commonalities out there of what the warranties are. I can't really speak exactly to
for sure
who does what, but
yeah.
But you know, like I said, get a few people. It's also too just feeling comfortable with the person. Get them to come over, you know, go through the plans with you. You got to be comfortable with the person as well, and how they present themselves as a company.
Yes, and I think it's important. We mentioned about going to the dealer as well, and I think that is really important. That you can't just pick it from the books. Like, your books are amazing. Websites are always handy. I know you're busy right now shooting next year's book, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the books, ends. You know, the, pardon?
It never ends. You can try to be as proactive as you want, but it's hard to, you know, so many great sites around Ontario, try to get out to everybody, take pictures.
That's right. So I think it's really important for the customer to go with the contractor, with the designer, or on their own, but go to a dealer and look at the brick in person. We often say bring a bottle of water because, you know, it gets dusty when they're out there, and that'll kind of give you a truer picture of what it's going to look like. Also, samples are always available, right? The contractors can pick up samples, can't they?
Yeah, they can. Like, for me, I agree with you. Go to the dealer because and you can go on our website, bestwaystone.com, and we have a find a dealer section. So if you're interested in our product, you go on there, you search, put in your postal code, and it'll find the closest dealer to you. And a lot of these dealers have done a really great job of either setting up display racks themselves, or we provide display racks, or even in-ground displays where you can see and walk on the product, which makes a big difference. Samples are great more for color choice,
okay?
Especially if you're trying to match something, but it's hard to picture your whole landscape with just one or two paving stones.
For sure.
If you can get to a dealer where they have like a large swatch on a display rack or an in-ground display where you can walk on a, you know, a 5x5 or 10x10 area to get a better feel of the product. I definitely recommend it. I would never buy anything out of a book. You wouldn't buy a car out of a book.
Yes.
So I wouldn't buy a paving stone or a retaining wall or anything out of a book as well.
Right.
Use that as a source of ideas. Like I was saying before, it really comes down now. People have an extension of their home. So if you're a modern person, if you're a more rustic person, use those books, use the websites to come up with ideas to present to your contractor or your designer so they can come up with a plan.
Right.
So, like I'm sure you do, you know, what are your main key things you want back here? You know, what are you looking for? So whether it's an outdoor kitchen or a fire pit or just a patio, a water feature, you know, that way they can come up with some ideas and the designer and the contractor can get an idea of what to accomplish for an end result as well.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely get out to your dealer, your local dealer, and take a look at the different products that are out there. And make sure you see them and even touch them. I think, you know, texture is a big deal too. There's a lot of different textures that are out there.
Yeah, definitely. It's something, you know, especially in the backyard, you know, if your kids are going to be running on it and walking on it and playing, you know, near it type of thing, you want it to be comfortable. And you want it to have the right look for sure. And because it's something you're not going to change it in a couple of years, right? It's not like paint on the wall in the inside of your house, right? Where if you get tired of it, you can just repaint it. You know, this is an investment and a commitment. So you really want to make sure that you're happy with it.
Yeah,
so
you're spending thousands of dollars around your house. You know, go for one trip for a couple hours to your dealer, you can make sure you make the choice that you want. And a lot of times people rely on the contractor for ideas or the designer of suggestions, and
right.
I think that's great because they know the industry better than the average homeowner, but I still think you should even see a sample or get out and see it to make sure you're completely happy with it, because it's easier to change that before you do it than after you do it.
Absolutely. Perhaps before the contractor orders the brick, right?
Exactly.
Now, I know, again, you're a manufacturer, but do you have any input as far as, because you said that customers should have a reasonable budget, and that is challenging, you know, even as a designer.
Yeah, we...
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, as manufacturers, what you can do is you can offer a variety, right? So, you know, we have paving stones anywhere from the $2 to $3 range a square foot all the way up to the, you know, $5, $6 a range square foot. You know, some manufacturers have even more expensive, depending on the type of process, the treatment to the brick, that sort of thing. So it really comes down to your aesthetic, but at the same time, you know, go into it with a budget in mind, and, you know, so you're not, you know, trying to make a product fit that doesn't fit your budget. You can always scale down the amount of it to try to get that product that you want, but you know, it's about having variety, and that's, you know, especially over the last 5 to 7 years, Best Way Stone has really expanded its product line to offer a lot of choice, both aesthetically and from a budget perspective. So,
okay.
You know, the cost of work usually for a contractor is pretty similar from job to job. Depends if there's a lot of leveling they have to do if it's hard to get to the backyard.
That's yeah,
they
access.
Can really,
yeah.
can really you know, change a budget for a contractor in terms of work.
Yeah.
The paving stone, it's really coming down. You know, they tack that on to their price, whether you choose a a more economical paving stone or a more expensive paving stone. Again, from us, the cost is really how hard is it for us to produce it, package it. Packaging can to protect a product if it's a really textured product can can add a lot of cost to us as a manufacturer. So that's that's in the cost of the paving stone as well to be able to offer a very premium looking paving stone as well. So again, come into it with a budget. Make sure you do a little research to make sure it's a realistic budget for what you're trying to achieve, and then come with some ideas of what you want, whether it's a patio, outdoor kitchen, water feature. What kind of an extension of your home are you trying to create?
What are you looking for? And retaining walls are also a really important thing. And I would think the standards there, as far as the ICPI, would also be really important.
Yes. Well, the ICPI, they only speak to paving stones.
Oh, okay.
Talking Pavement Institute. So they don't have that, but there's another governing body called the NCMA, which is for retaining walls and large segmental retaining walls.
Wow,
as
all
well.
These regulators.
Yeah, the walls are a different animal,
yeah.
especially when you get into like really big commercial walls. Very different than anything to do with paving stones.
Mm-hmm.
Type of materials you use, compaction, geotextiles to hold up the walls. So there's different things that to consider. With retaining walls, when you're talking about garden walls, it's not that much different than the base of a paving stone.
Okay.
You want to make sure it's compacted properly. You have to consider where your water is running to. If your water is running right underneath your wall, you're probably going to have a wall that moves once it gets through a freeze issue. So it's really about controlling your water away from your walls and running them either into a garden or some sort of a flower bed, where it can get back into the soil subgrade. So with retaining wall, it depends on what type of retaining wall you're trying to achieve. If it's holding up, if you're leveling your backyard for a pool or something like that, and you're holding it up, that's a little bit more engineering involved. There's specific products with Best Way Stone. We have a product called the Ridge Wall, which is a large segmental retaining wall that you would use in something large like that, just to kind of lift up a large amount of earth. When you get pretty high, you would want to consult engineering to in certain circumstances. But for your average garden wall or bumper along the side of your driveway, it's pretty similar to what you're doing with paving stones.
With the paving stone, okay, all right. But they're very important, for sure, to make sure that they are constructed properly.
Yeah, because with walls, it's really about your base as well and your first course, because everything above is affected with what's from below. So so if you get a little bit of movement at the bottom, once it reaches a 3 or 4 foot wall, that's going to fan out, and especially on a column, it's going to look terrible. So so it really does come down to the base construction, where you got to rely on your contractor who's done it before and knows what to do in that circumstance.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for speaking to that.
No,
I do want to talk to you about trends in the industry.
Sure.
But I think won't we pause for a commercial break, and then we can, so that way I don't interrupt you partway through. But I'm looking forward to talking about where you see the industry going when we get back here on Reality Radio 101.
Keep yourself together.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pamperme.organically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Worlds Collide is Oshawa's premier comic and game store. We stock an eclectic selection of comics and graphic novels for all ages and tastes, all sold at U.S. cover prices. Let our friendly, knowledgeable staff find something new and unusual for you to read. Our game department specializes in Magic the Gathering, with a huge selection of single cards available and regular weekly in-store play. We also stock board games, RPGs, dice, and supplies. Can't find what you're looking for? Just ask and we'll order it in. Worlds Collide, 80 Simcoe Street North in Oshawa. Feeding your imagination since 1982. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right back to Joanne.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. I hope you're learning as much as I am from Jason Vatisse with Best Way Stone about the manufacturing process a little bit and the importance of a good installation. And I think part of the reason why I'm finding, as a designer, I need to learn more to help my customers, Jason, is because there's so much to choose from for the customers. What do you see, and with the trends, where do you see people? What are people looking for?
I think right now, especially because of the increasing amount of shows on, like, say, HGTV, that sort of thing. There's a lot of homeowners that are really getting inspired by a lot of interior design that's kind of moving outside.
Mm-hmm.
So a big trend that we're starting to see in the industry is large paving stones, so really large paving stones for driveways, backyards, I guess just to eliminate the amount of joints because people don't like the potential of weeds.
Right.
Also, patio furniture moves a little bit nicer when there's less joints as well, and also gives you a little bit more of a grand look as well. So unfortunately for the contractors, that's kind of the trend that's been going, is these large, big paving stones, which get pretty heavy for driveways,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when it's done right and completed projects, they can look quite beautiful as well. So we're seeing a trend towards these large ones, almost trying to mimic large pieces of slate natural stone, that sort of a look. Also, there's a big trend towards more of a modern movement, a lot of, like, minimalist, clean movement, so a lot of smooth products. With no texture, going with more of your concrete grays and stark blacks as well to have that contrast.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of a trend, a movement towards that modern aesthetic, and I've noticed too that a lot of homeowners are liking blending wood with paving stones, and concrete as well. So you get wood decks that kind of bleed into these nice patios, or really nicely done wood arbors and pergolas,
mm-hmm.
that are on top of these stone patios as well. So mixing different types of textures and different types of materials is a big thing. And that's
mm-hmm.
where I think a lot of homeowners know what they like, but they don't know how to put it all together. And that's where I think, like you were saying before, having a design that kind of works these different elements together, especially if you want, like, a little fire feature, which you can go to now. You can, we can make them out of concrete. We sell
mm-hmm.
fire pits as well. But a lot of homeowners now are even going to, their local big box store and buying ones that they just put right on top of their patio with a carpet or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and putting some patio furniture around it. So it's about bringing all these elements together, and I think there is a movement towards more of the modern. I think that it's, like you said, a trend. It's a little more trendy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will last. No matter what, your tried and true, tumbled rustic paver is still a big seller in the industry, and it's still good because it's timeless.
Yeah,
it looks
for sure.
Better as it ages. So, if someone's going to be in that house for 25 years, maybe picking something that isn't as trendy, it's not the way to go if you're, unless that's your ultimate style.
I know, because, I did mine 7 years ago now, and yes, I chose, a tumbled stone, but now seeing all these clean lines and, new pavers, and, I come home and I look at my brick, but I'm like, I still really like it, I think it still works. You're right, it is timeless, but I know, and I think someone said to me that the new homeowners don't want the brick that their parents had.
Exactly, yeah.
So they want something different. So they are looking for that smoother texture. And I am finding, more clean lines. I presented this past weekend a new design, and it was all she wanted was clean lines and very minimalist look, like you said. And it was all about changing the texture, alternating the bricks so that she had, we had two little focus sitting areas, and they were a different color brick, but then the rest of the walkway was another color, you know?
Yeah, it's about the contrast.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word.
A lot of contractors now and homeowners really want this, is, you know, having that border and an inlay, and you have to be careful not to get too busy, but at the same time, there really is some nice paving stones that can complement the main paving stone as well to really enhance it.
Yes.
Especially if you're changing colors.
Yes.
A lot of things we're seeing, too, is like the, you know, interior design is really dictating a lot of the exterior design, because a lot of homeowners now are deciding, you know, do I spend X amount of thousands of dollars on a cottage that's going to take me how many hours in traffic to get to? Or should I put that money in my backyard and, you know, and really enjoy where I live? And you know, I'm paying this mortgage, I might as well enjoy where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bringing their indoors out. So a lot of the interior design is really moving its way outdoor. That's why you see a lot of outdoor kitchens with, you know, kind of high-end granite countertops on top of, you know, our stacking blocks, and really nice use of barbecues and pizza ovens. Now, you know, we sell a pizza oven package now, which has become popular as well.
Yeah, so. I have all the material you left me in front of me here, and that pizza oven just looks so good.
Yeah, and, you know, people are finding great ways to make their backyards very entertainment friendly, and you know, the facing of houses too, we're noticing that. I was just in Montreal a few weeks ago, and their housing is, you know, very, very modern. That's going up right now, and we're starting to see that change in Toronto and around Toronto. So we're finding a lot of what they do, it moves out, you know, ultimately from like Germany and places in Europe, it kind of moves west. So Montreal is doing it, and then now we're going to see a little bit more, you know, a modern take in Toronto as well. We noticed a lot of the houses going down in Toronto are really modern look with, you know, they've been choosing our modern paving stones to.
Although no one in Toronto would admit to copying Montreal, right?
I know, no, they wouldn't. But we're noticing that, you know, their trends are kind of moving this way, and a little bit of a European influence as well. So the people are ultimately trying to complement their facing stones. So don't, and I always say, don't try to exactly match your house stone, you know, color and look, because you never will. So try to find something that's complementary.
Yeah, and I always say to people, the only one that looks at the color of their brick is them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. People, I mean, to me, that's just, no one's looking at that. They're looking at your front door. They're going to look at your garden. They're going to look at your walkway, but they're really not paying attention to the color of their brick. But I know some homeowners are so obsessed with, you know, like you said, matching the color or complementing the color. But really, you know, your average visitor isn't really going to pay attention to what color your brick is.
And you mentioned, too, the gardens. I always can't stress enough, even when I design, you know, my show booths for when we're at industry trade shows, how much greenery helps enhance your concrete that's there. So, you know, I always tell anyone, make sure you work in, it's very important to work in your planting with your walkway or with your patio, because that could really enhance, like your patio is kind of like the palette, you know, for your planting and your arbor and your, you know, your outdoor features. So use your concrete to make your plant stand out as well, and have it all kind of mesh together and work together.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I think as a designer, sometimes it's not even as much about the design as it is about the space planning, because I think homeowners want, you know, they want a garden, they want a barbecue area, they want a fire pit area, but they only can afford a 10 by 10 patio. Well, it's not realistic, and we can't fit it all in there. And so what, you know, I find then that garden becomes like a 2-foot garden, 2-foot deep garden, and it doesn't look good. You can't make, you know, a garden that's 2 feet deep look good, really, unless it's just a boxwood hedge. So, you know, I think that's something I can bring to the table, and your contractor can help with that as well. In looking at how much space does it take to have a fire pit. There's regulations, right? I believe the fire pit has to be, you know, 10 feet from the house.
Yes, especially I don't know if you're allowed one in Toronto.
Right,
The GTA, there are, you have to check your bylaws.
Your bylaws, for sure.
But most cases, it is about 10 feet
from the fence. And so that's, you know, so that takes up a lot of space. I know we talked on a previous show about that, because I want one. My son would love one. We really want one in our backyard, but we have no spot because we have a small backyard and a pool in the middle of it, you know, and not a lot of space around it. There's the only place we could literally put a fire pit is in the middle of the pool. So, and I think, remember, Gary, that was the one time my husband emailed in during the show to say, no, we're not getting a fire pit. But so those are things, you know, everybody wants, and the contractor can install it. But having the plan to make sure it all fits and that it works, that you, if you want those certain look in your garden, then the gardens need to be deep enough.
Yeah, you have to create breathing space in your backyard. The last thing you want to do is walk into your backyard and you feel congested.
Right.
Almost like you're stuck in traffic because you can't move around your backyard. So people don't realize how much space you need for your knees. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna have an open fire pit, you can't be right up against it because that's really hot. So people don't realize how much space you need for certain things, and you know, your room for your chairs to move. So even when I go out and do photography for our paving stones, the furniture we have there, we either use the homeowners or we bring our own. Creating breathing space in pictures and letting people know that you can't have everything cramped together, because if you have people over, that's going to be very uncomfortable.
Right.
You want to be able to move freely. So like you said, maybe not incorporating everything, what's the most important to you, maybe create a priority list of what you need and go from there.
Yeah, definitely. And so you are, like you said, shooting other people's backyards or front yards. Is it mostly backyards or?
Both. We do driveways too and walkways. We kind of cater our catalog to show different things, right? To give people ideas depending on what their project is.
Right.
It's a little tougher to get into backyards because in the front yards you can see from the street. Backyards, you got to get the homeowner and everyone in. And it can be a little harder, but it does pay off when you find a really nice location. And it gives you ideas too when I'm designing my show booth or our design gardens at our different manufacturing locations, to give people ideas. You see what other people do. Just because I've been in the industry for this long doesn't mean I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing what contractors can do with your product that you didn't think about. So.
Right. And that'd be a good way for you to, because you're watching the trends, like you said, from Montreal and from Europe, but working, you know, and seeing the work of your contractors and what their customers are asking for and seeing how far they push the product, that must help you know what's, you know, I'm sure you're picturing what next year's catalog, like the follow, like 2017's catalog will be like, right?
Yeah, and you know, we're a family-owned and operated company, and we have been since day one. Same family owns it today.
That's fabulous.
Back then, so you know, we're really built on service and really being in touch with our customers, whether it's a homeowner or a contractor. So we rely especially a lot on our contractors to talk about, you know, what kind of products do you want, what kind of products are you seeing out there, where's the industry going in your mind. And a lot of them have had great, you know, suggestions on our, you know, on helping improve our products or kind of, you know, changing our mindset to what where we think things are going. When we hear the same thing from a few different contractors out there, it kind of, you know, gives us a level of confidence that this is something that would work and something the homeowners would want as well.
Right.
So yeah, that's a big thing. And I said before, whether it's Montreal or here too, you can take so much from even the car industry, or you can take things from, you know, the facing stone and house brick to give you ideas as well, whether it's for design or for manufacturing products. So really just being in touch with the customer and what people are asking for out there, and trying not to get caught up too much in the trends, but at the same time, you don't want to miss it if it's something that's going to become something big.
Yeah, for sure. You want to still keep the customers happy because you don't want them going elsewhere, you know. So just to go back to homeowners, I know there's some of their concerns are not only the look and the installation, but the weeds that, you know, they complain about and the winter, how to treat their bricks in the winter. Do you have any tips on?
Sure. Well, weed control is tough because really a lot of people have the misconception that weeds grow from below when they actually grow from the top. You know, a lot of the sporulings and stuff that fall from the trees will land in the bricks or in the joints and germinate on top of it and cause weeds to grow that way. So it really has to do with a lot of the times with the trees you have around your property. If you have no trees, you probably have a less chance of getting weeds. If you're covered in trees, you're going to have a lot of weeds. So, but there are products out there that help. There's hardening sands if the contractor adds water to the sand, it hardens almost like concrete. There's also products out there that harden that are, you know, more plant-based than they are chemical-based, and they actually get soft again, so they work well with the freeze-thaw cycles, and they'll harden again when they dry.
Okay.
And they have anti-germinant chemicals or natural chemicals built into it that help prevent weed growth as well. So there are different jointing sands that are available. You know, when you go out to your local distributor and you talk to your contractor, you know, ask for the best sand that's to stop weed growth, and they can have some recommendations as well. The only thing with those, especially if you're going to do it yourself, to follow instructions carefully, because you could and do all this beautiful work with your paving stones, and if you install the sand incorrectly and don't properly get it off your surface before you activate it, you could ruin everything and you're starting from square one again. So
absolutely. That really means if it rains,
So don't install hardening sand when it's raining unless you read the instructions to make sure you're proper. And in terms of winter care, most paving stones, or actually all paving stones, if they're meeting the standards in Canada, don't have a problem handling at least 25 years of freeze-thaw cycles.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the paving stone that's the issue. It's the certain types of salt, over-salting specifically.
Right.
So like if you're using a sodium chloride, which is your typical rock salt, or calcium chloride, which is your ice melt salt. I think one's the blue, one's the white salt. Both of them are safe for paving stones. It's the oversalting. A lot of people just, till you can't even see the floor, they're throwing salt down.
Right.
If you can be a little more sparing with it and try to just make it safe, but not, a complete salt factory, just because that salt, not only does it corrode the surface, but if it does melt, when the melting time does come and it sits underneath the paving stone, it can cause like a soupy salt mix underneath and corrode the brick from below as well.
Oh, okay.
So, a lot of times we see this with commercial applications where they're worried about someone falling in front of the building. So
yes.
They throw so much salt down and,
they'd
rather just replace the paving stones than have a lawsuit. So, that's one case. But at your home, if you can get away, maybe stairs, you do a little bit more just because it's a little bit more unsafe. But
More isn't necessarily better. Like, let the salt do its work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It will work.
There's also a calcium-based that's more natural for salt as well, but I think it's a little more expensive and harder to get a hold of. It's not in your big box store. But just being a little more sparing with it, just don't oversalt, so you can't even see the paving stones or else, no matter what, that's gonna be hard on them.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, some people seal their paving stones as well. That's more of an aesthetic thing. Your paving stones will be strong whether you seal them or not. It gives you a different look, but also it does help with cleanups of oil spills, that sort of thing. Makes it a little bit easier.
Okay.
But there you are endeavoring in a process that can take, every few years you want to strip it and reapply new sealers.
Oh.
So you are creating a process that needs upkeep.
Right. So once you do it once, you have to keep it up, kind of like with your deck.
Yeah, every few years it's best to strip it and reapply, or else it could start looking a little white and waxy if it, if it starts to age.
What percentage do you think of people that want it sealed?
I think that percentage has come down.
Yeah.
I thought like in the 90s, there was like when they first came onto market, it was like a big thing and people were really enhancing the color of the brick and it can look beautiful as well. But I think people are kind of going for more of that timeless rustic look.
Yeah, more natural.
It really is an aesthetic thing, but I would say the percentage leans more towards not sealing than sealing, especially since there isn't a maintenance involved to it.
For sure.
Everybody, really
we both know everybody wants low maintenance, right?
Yeah. So it is a personal preference on what you're trying to achieve. But I would say if you are going to seal it, it may be my personal preference, but trying to go with something that's a little bit more of a satin gloss than a high gloss, because that could be slipperier and it does look wet and shiny. So it kind of takes away from the look of the paving stone.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we are, believe it or not, we are almost out of time. But before we wrap up, I just want to see if there's anything else you wanted to mention or promote while I have you.
Just that when you're looking at a manufacturer, know that in Canada you're pretty safe, choosing a paving stone here because of the lifetime warranties and the high specifications that we meet. So it really does come down to personal aesthetic and knowing the company you're dealing with. We're a family-owned and operated company. We're heavily based on service. We're right in Ontario. We're right in Durham, actually. So, you can get a hold of your manufacturer, or if you're, we have a very good relationship with the dealers around Ontario and in the Durham region as well. So, we can be accessed through them as well, and we have great reporting relationships with them as well. So, really get out to your dealers, see the product. Your dealer is a great source for information and getting in touch with the different products that are available.
Yes, you qualify for the buy local, really.
Yeah.
And our customers can, or our listeners can, you probably have booths, you were talking about your show booths and stuff at different trade shows coming up in the fall and winter.
Yeah, we do an industry trade show in January called Landscape Ontario Congress. We're members of Landscape Ontario.
Right.
So we'll have a booth there, which is kind of geared a little bit towards the trades, a little bit more contractors, designers, builders. At the Toronto Home Show, we do have customers that are there. We try to support our contractors and dealers that are at that show, just because you know, we used to display there, but a lot of the questions were a little bit more about how much does it cost to do the work.
Stuff
that we don't do. So we'd rather have the contractor, you know, get the leads, and we supply them with product and help their booths look great.
Excellent, excellent. So because I know there's a home show coming up on October 1st to 4th, I believe. So we'll be able to see some of the products there, but that does make sense that you supply the contractors with your materials and let them show what they can do with it.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a good thing, and I think it's great to know that, you know, 50 years family owned local product and the lifetime warranty. So a lot of good things going for Best Way Stone. So
yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on and informing me and informing our listeners a little bit more about what goes into paving stones. So thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So you have a great night, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I did, learning all about paving stones. And I know it's something I've got to continually learn, especially as the trends change from year to year. I really want to make sure that my customers are happy with their finished product, from the gardens to the paving stones to the whole look.
Sounds nice to me.
Yeah, so I mean, it just shows you know, that landscape, like the plan. It's I say it so easily and so often, but it really is a big thing, you know. And
it
covers a lot. Like Jason said, you know, you have to have breathing room between your areas and your backyard, and you really need to have a good idea for spacing.
And it's an expense, so you want to make sure you do it right the first time.
Absolutely,
right?
For sure. Great. So, I'm really glad. We had this talk, and look forward to next week.
Beautiful.
All right. So I just wanted to thank my listeners for joining me down the garden path tonight on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.